You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Game Theory Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Vecini. We are presented by The Athletic. Today on the show, it is the most anticipated, the most exciting, the best podcast of the NBA preseason preview. It has become a yearly tradition. I think we've been doing this, what, for 4 years? Something like that?
I think four.
Dear Sweet, friend of the program, Robbie Calland is here, the only man who loves to bet NBA win total over-unders as much as I do. This is the only podcast that does NBA win total over-unders as a preview.
A unique concept to us.
It is the unique New York concept of the Game Theory Podcast. We patented this. This is definitely
right.
A thing. Robbie Calland is here, and we're going to run through in a two-part podcast, so the rest of it will be out later this week. In a two-part podcast, Robbie and I are going to go through the Eastern Conference in this episode, the Western Conference in the next episode, previewing all of the teams and their over-under win totals. Robbie, it's so good to be here with you. You're like a week out from getting married. I feel like it's so funny because the last 2 years we've done these, we've talked about you getting married, and because of the pandemic, you just have not been able to get married in that time.
That's correct.
Robbie is finally getting married next week.
Come hell or high water, we're doing it.
Yeah. The week that these podcasts will actually come out, your wedding is what? It's like October 2nd. Yeah, that's if I remembered that. Yeah, so you know he'll be in the week lead up to his wedding, and I could not be more excited for Robbie. I feel like we've been previewing your wedding for years on this show.
It's about time we're going to be out there getting it in Vegas. I'll be able to just put my win totals in on site. Just straight off the plane.
In your vows, Atlanta over. I vow to you to bet the Atlanta over in the 2021-22.
I vow to cash these winners. I know that.
Let's rock. Oh man, how are things going? Like, is the lead up good? Like, you're just rolling right along?
Yeah, man. I mean, we're pretty much set. I've been grinding Open Table tonight, getting reservations for all of the various days before and days after, because we're staying a couple days after for like a little mini moon type thing, just have a couple days. But yeah, I mean, we're good. Moved across the country out here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Fabulous Chattanooga, Tennessee. Did that 2 weeks ago. So I highly recommend to people to plan a cross-country move and get married in the same month. It's definitely not stressful at all.
At least, like, Laura and I decided to get married and then, like, start our, like, cross-planet move. You doing this all at once, that is the most fucking bonkers thing I've ever heard in my life.
It wasn't supposed to happen, but, you know, job openings come when job openings come, and you got to start when you got to start, and so here we are. But we made it in one piece to Chattanooga, and Yeah, man. Back to Vegas. It's fun to like plan a wedding, partially because you're going to be able to drive to the location and then to end up having to fly there anyway.
Oh, my God.
That's a bad B, Scott Van Pelt.
Oh, my God. Robbie's still at Up Rock Sports. We don't got to worry about that. It's just his lovely partner has a new job. So we, you know, we're excited. We're excited about everything here. Robbie, when you looked at these over-unders, what was your initial thought? Because mine was just like, oh shit, I'm going to bet like 20 unders this year. And I ended up dead on at 15-15.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it was like this, still kind of figuring out the sticker shock of being back at 82 games. Like, I think, you know, last year we talked about, okay, it's going to be 72 games, everything's going to feel low. And so this year, just like when I first went through lists, I was like, man, these seem high. And then I was like, 10 more games, Robbie. 10 more games. So I think once you make the adjustment, I mean, there are we'll get to them, but there's some that are eyebrow raising, and you know, there's a lot of factors to consider this year. We'll see. I think I usually end up about 16, 14, 17, 13 on the under, because that's just my natural instinct, because you got to talk me out of an under just as a human being on everything. That's the default. Underdogs and unders, you got to talk me out of it. And so usually I end up a little skewed to the under, but try to find that balance.
And I think it's like a similar deal often. It's a little bit different because every game is like a zero-sum game in the NBA. Yes. Right, whereas like with player props are not zero sum, and you should frankly just like bet under on every player prop every year and you will win money, just because guys get hurt, right, and injuries end up coming up, and guys like Dimitri Felton for the Browns end up getting 50 yards in a game where Jarvis Landry is supposed to be playing that role, right? So then you're down, and Jarvis Landry's on IR now, but like Jarvis Landry is at least down 50 yards from where his over under would be. So like it's just hard with over unders in a way that player props aren't, but I think that yours in my mind tends to be so geared toward, oh shit, we should be going under because we should always go under. Like it's, you know,
you do have to shake free of it. And really it just comes down to, for me, is like, I think I tend to be a touch more skeptical that everything's going to work out, especially with young teams. Like, my default on a team that is younger is going to be especially on the under. I think we talked about that last year, and it ended up being wrong with, like, Charlotte. Is we were like, this is going to be a young team. They're going to make mistakes. They're not going to be particularly good.
Right.
They ended up being pretty good. Obviously, I think some of those veterans played better than we thought. Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward played better than I think we anticipated, and as such, those are your kind of winning players, and then when they combine with some young guys emerging, you end up with a little bit of an over. So I think we'll probably end up, I'll probably end up in the 16-14, 17-13 under range, but we'll run through it and see.
Okay, so let's get started here. We go alphabetical order through the Eastern Conference here. We're going to start with Robbie Callen's dear sweet Atlanta Hawks. As we always just do, not Hawks. Only because Robbie is from Atlanta, but because they're realistically the only team that starts with an A in the NBA. Robbie, 47.5 is our number here. That struck me as high originally, and then I came right back around, baby.
Yes, that's correct. This feels like a pretty decent over to me. Like we can, you know, anybody who's listened to this pod over the years knows that we'll tell you if it's just a lean, because we're gonna pick all of them, and we're not gonna, the two of us, both be betting 30 of these. We'll tell you when it's a lean, and we'll tell you when we feel pretty good about it. This is one that actually probably ends up on my card. I like the over. I mean, this is a team that won right around this pace last year. And that was including a dreadful start, I do think they played a bit over their head at the very end. I don't think they were that like 55 win pace team that they were under Nate McMillan after the All-Star break, but I do think this is reasonably a 49-50 win team. You talk about getting healthier, and this is just a really deep team. The questions for me about this team is, do they have the top level guys come playoff time? But depth is not an issue for this Hawks team. They got two deep pretty much everywhere, and that helps you win in the regular season.
So I think I'm like pretty in on this Hawks team, like even more than you are. Like I think this like might be a 50 win team, like just straight
up. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, I think they very much could be. They could be the 3 seed in the East.
Yeah, like they went 27-11 over their last 38 games. That was, I think, a little bit after Nate McMillan took over, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it was like right as he took over.
Yeah, they go on like that 8-game win streak, and it's just like off to the races, and then they make the Eastern Conference Finals earlier than anyone anticipates. I mean, this team should be better. Like, You just kind of look at the guys on the roster. They're going to get just upward youth-based improvement, theoretically, from all of Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, DeAndre Hunter, who played 23 of those games last year and looked amazing before he got hurt. Cam Reddish, who played 26 games last year and looked pretty good in the minutes that he did play outside of his shooting. Like, you should get some pretty real upside-based like improvement here in a way that like you just may not have gotten last year. And plus, on top of that, you're going to get a full year of strong backup point guard play because they acquired Lou Williams late. I mean, if you guys remember those Rajon Rondo minutes early in the year last year,
it was bad.
They were he was unplayable in those minutes. So
not much changed when he got to LA. So
yeah, but like you got Lou Williams and you've got DeLon Wright, both of whom should be able to handle that position. Mm-hmm. You've got Gorgui Dieng inside kind of handling the center position while Onyeka Okongwu is recovering from injury.
Well, that could be, you know, Okongwu played great in the playoffs, but if you're talking about like regular season, like Gorgui Dieng is like a really solid backup center.
Yeah, like, totally.
People, I think, checked out on him when he signed that contract in Minnesota and it became an albatross, but like he's just become a very solid backup center. Like they upgraded this roster this offseason.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
In specifically, they upgraded it in ways that are going to help them win more regular season games, I think.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm with you. I think this is like one of the better numbers on the market right now. 47.5 for the Hawks. I'm like pretty solidly over on this. Like that's one that's in bold for me.
Yeah, this one's on the card. I think the big thing is like, and I talk about this a lot, is, you know, you mentioned you should get the internal development of those young guys, and I'm always cautious on that because my whole thing is development is never linear. Guys kind of go through peaks and valleys on the way in their development. So like theoretically, yes, but the thing is, it's like even if some of those guys stall, like you said, just by virtue of being a little healthier, they were one of the most banged up teams in the league last year. If you just get, you know, Gallo, it took forever for him to get on the floor, and you know, Bogdanovich missed time, and Hunter obviously, and Reddish, and like I think getting a full season or close to a full season with some of those guys just naturally gives you, you know, a few wins in spots that they lost last year. And I think 49-50 is where I would have this. Like I would set this over or under at 49.5, and I think it would be a much trickier call, but like 47.5 I feel quite comfortable with.
I think I do too. I mean, there's just a lot of room for error here for them.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. Even
if the internal development doesn't come, they still have Gallo. They still have Bogdanovich. Like, even if guys get hurt, they have all the depth in the world. Like, mm-hmm. they have so many guys that I think can just, like, kind of make it work. It's... I think it's, like, really, really easy to, like, see this as being good. I'm pretty sure that, like, they lost the third most games in the NBA last year due to injury. And they, mm-hmm. according to Man Games Lost, which is a Twitter account that follows these things, they had the third most wins lost due to missing certain injured players. Mm-hmm. I think this number is, like, too low by, you know, maybe, like, I think it's probably too low by 2 wins. I think they should be, their over-under should be a 50-win team, in my opinion.
That's where I'm at. I think, and they're just going to be good. Like, and the other thing is, I think last year, that playoff run, what that helps them with is, I think some of that anxiety about what comes next is taken away a little bit. There's certainly pressure on them, but I think that pressure is playoff pressure now. Where last year, early on, I think they really struggled with this idea that they need to make the playoffs. And I think once they got past that, and it was compounded by the injuries, once they got past that, because it had been, you know, Lloyd Pierce said, we're going to make the playoffs, that's the goal. And, you know, that was kind of organizationally, it's like, we've got to make the playoffs this year. And I think early on, there was some pressure and some lemon booty in some late games. I mean, I remember there was a Cavs game early on where they just, like, forgot to guard Lamar Stevens, and he got a wide-open dunk at the buzzer to beat them. And, like, there were just some real bad mistakes that, like, they didn't make again, and I don't think you're going to see them make this year. More continuity means more early wins. Having that playoff run takes a little of the pressure off early. Now the pressure is going to come when they reach the playoffs and there's expectations to make another run to the semis, maybe threaten the conference finals. But this is a regular season discussion. I think this is solid over.
Okay. Next up, the Boston Celtics. Boston's over-under is 45.5. To me, this number seems pretty dead on. I will ask you the question that I asked Fred Katz on the last podcast. Mm-hmm. How many games in Robert Williams' 3-year career do you think Robert Williams has played at least 30 minutes in a game?
How many games?
Yeah. Like, how many single games has he played at least 30 minutes?
50?
He has played one game where he's gotten 30 minutes in a game.
I was, like, trying to think of, like, what would... Like, I was trying to think what would be reasonable. One?
Yeah, because A, he's injured, like, a decent amount, and B, like, he just doesn't, like, it's hard. I think it's hard for him to stay on the floor for that long and, like, be effective. The one game where Robert Williams played at least 30 minutes came against New Orleans last year in March, March 29th against New Orleans, and he was really good in that game. Like, he had 7 points, 3 blocks, 5 assists, 10 rebounds, like, typical Robert Williams, you know, high minute load game, but... Like, it's just hard. Like, he went a stretch last year in March and, like, through the middle of April where he played 25 minutes a night and averaged 10 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, shot 70% from the field. Like, phenomenal numbers, right? But then he got hurt for a little while and missed the next, like, 7 games. And then they had him, like, on a 20-minute per game minute load and then missed, you know, 5 games late in the year and didn't play in their final 2 playoff games against Brooklyn. Like, this is who Boston is relying on as their, I don't want to say, like, starting center, because I don't know necessarily what they're going to do. Like, do they start Al Horford? Do they start both Al Horford and Robert Williams? Like, I think that's like a real distinct...
I don't like that at all.
It's not what I would do, but I'm just saying, like, it's possible.
I hadn't even considered that as a possibility. That sounds awful.
Well, is it worse or better than starting Dennis Schroeder and Marcus Smart with, like, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and one of those two? Basically, would you rather start both Horford and Williams or Dennis Schroeder?
I think I'd rather start Dennis. I think Dennis is fine. Especially given what they have. I think Dennis is fine. I think I'd rather have Al out there with, like, if you want to start Robert, I think I'd rather have Al out there as kind of like a little bit of a security blanket for Peyton Pritchard.
That's a good idea. That's actually a really good idea.
Because just a little pick and pop guy, somebody who's going to set him good screens, not like a great role threat, but I don't think that's Pritchard's real strength, is like operating pick and roll and throwing lobs. Like, get somebody that can create him some separation for that jump shot, and if they bring too much attention to him, can pop out, as Al's been doing forever. I would do it that way and let Dennis run with that first unit, because I think the best version of Dennis we've seen has been that year he played in OKC with the three-guard lineup. And if you have him on the floor with Jason and Jalen and even Marcus, like, you're kind of letting him play into that role more. That's how I see this all working out. In the ideal scenario is Dennis gets some more spot-up opportunities, because, like, in LA, it was him and LeBron. Nobody else could handle the ball.
Right. I think you're right about this. The more I think about it, the more I think you're right about this.
So that's how I would handle it. But we'll see. I mean, new coach. We'll see what his ideas are. I'm with you. I think this is a correct number. I probably lean under because I think the wrong injury in the wrong time will do more damage to this team. Because I don't trust a lot of the depth.
Yeah, and we should mention, I'm realizing, by the way, that we're using the BetMGM numbers, because BetMGM, sportsbook partner of The Athletic. Shout out BetMGM. But, yeah, this is like a pure stay away from me, because I just don't know what to expect from this Boston team. Like, you could convince me that Jason Tatum takes a leap into being a top, I don't know, top 20, you know, maybe even top 10 player in the league. You could convince me that Jaylen Brown takes a leap into being a top 20 player, and then you have two top 20 guys, and, you know, maybe Robert Williams does play significant minutes, and that works.
Just so many questions. It's relying on so much, really, on both sides, you know, like, and again, I think I would default to the under. It's also plus 100 on the under. I always like the candy. I think, again, would not bet it, will not bet it, but we make picks on this podcast. And my lean, under.
Yeah. My lean is also under on this, just because there's too much that has to go right. New coach, just a lot of, like, even if, like, let's say Dennis doesn't work out and we find that Horford has aged up.
He's cooked.
Yeah.
Sure.
That creates a lot of youth questions. Yeah. So under, but this team has a chance to be good, and, like, we're totally staying away from it.
Yes.
Brooklyn, 56 and a half is the over under. That's a lot of wins.
All right. Let me pose this question to you. It's a lot of wins. However, this roster is preposterous, man. Like, Paul Millsap's your 10th man.
Yeah.
Here's my question to you.
Yeah.
If Kyrie Irving does not play any home games and does not play in Toronto, that is 43 games.
Plus Golden State.
You can play on the road. You literally can't get into Canada, but you can play the road games. Like, road teams that don't have vaccinated players can play in New York. It's just like home teams, because you actually work there. It's a weird, weird rule.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Anyway, 43 games. If Kyrie Irving does not play 43 games, do you feel confident in taking this under? Because I don't think I do. They're still that good. Because he's the guy I think misses time anyway.
Look, I think all three of them probably miss some time just here and there, right?
Like, I, not I necessarily. Agree,
Yeah.
I think my main concern is, like, up until last year, Harden had never missed games. And I don't think he's going to all of a sudden really buy in on load management to the degree that it would take me feeling confident in this under. Because he's just that damn good. In the regular season, literally just having James Harden running the show, even if KD's sitting, even if Kyrie's not there, like, he can beat a lot of teams with the guys around him.
So last year, they were at, I think, a pace of, like, 55, like 54-7 or something like that.
And they missed so much time.
Kevin Durant played 35 games. Kyrie Irving missed 18 games. James Harden played half the season. You might be right on this.
I hate it. You know I hate the over on the favorite, but it's the right side, Sam.
I think this team is preposterously good. Like, I'm definitely with you on that. Like, I think they're, like, very clearly the favorite to win the title.
I don't think it's really close.
I don't either. Like, I
think I hate it.
It's, like, not quite the Nets versus the field for me, but, like, they should probably be, like, plus 200. I don't know what their number is. Do you know what their number is?
BetMGM does.
Yeah, what is... I don't necessarily have their number off the top of my head, but,
I'm
like...
I'm looking. Futures 240.
Yeah, like, I think that's honestly, like, higher than I would list it. Yeah.
Dude,
so this is where, like, the COVID-19 conversation comes in, right? I mean, look, there was a report today, as we're recording, from Yaron Weitzman.
Yes.
That, you know, they still have some vaccine holdouts in Brooklyn. Let's go with that. So how much do we think that the vaccine holdouts could realistically just crater this to being an under?
Well, that's why I asked the Kyrie thing. Is like,
yeah,
like he's the main one that has been reported on.
Yeah, we don't know how many people are.
And we don't know who it is. Sean Marks talked about it a few days ago and said it's a few, and also said. He said that he expects it to be, like, resolved or figured out by the time camp is, and also said, like, they can field a team, which, like, there's a very different thing to me between, like, we're going to have this thing resolved and, like, we can field a team. Like, that's a big gap between, like, yeah, we'll have all of our guys and, yeah, we can put 12 guys out there. But
yeah, let's field a team.
Right. Like, who's on this team you're fielding? Like, if it's Harden and KD and Joe Harris and most of your guys, and, like, you're lacking Kyrie and a couple bench guys, I still think they can hit this over. I would not bet it then. But, yeah, I mean, I just – it's hard for me to see how this team just isn't steamrolling, even if they're coasting half the time.
I think I'm personally – I think I'm staying away from this.
I understand it.
Because I just don't have the trust, really, in them. I think for the playoffs, like, I would bet them to win the title. Like, I will bet them to win the title in the preseason, like, almost assuredly. Mm-hmm. Or I might, like, I'll probably bet them in the preseason, and then I will – see how the season is going, and if we do get some of this, like, COVID tomfoolery or the shenanigans, and this number goes up, you know, to 350, I'll probably hit it again. Like, I feel really good about this Brooklyn team winning the title this year, but I don't know if I feel great about them winning 57 games, just given some of the uncertainty.
I understand that totally. I just, like, when I look at it, I think of, like, what would have to happen for it to be an under for me. And this is coming from a person who defaults to unders. And I'm just like, man, it's hard for me to get there. I think it's fairly solid for me. Again, I totally understand the trepidation about everything. But they're just so good that, like, they can trot out the B squad and beat some teams in the East. And that's
yeah, they probably can, can't they?
Terrifying. Like, it really, like, you could trot out Patty Mills, Joe Harris, one of KD and Harden, Millsap, Claxton, Griffin. You know, these guys, and like you can, you could beat the Magic.
Yeah, you really can.
As a 10-point favorite.
You can, like, I was going to say, you can probably beat like Charlotte and like good teams. With
so
that
like
lineup.
That's where I'm at is like if they are. If
just give me just, some Cam Thomas. Like just give me some ridiculous Cam Thomas fun.
Cam Thomas should get 30 minutes against the Magic and might score 25.
Just for funsies.
Just
let's
for
give
fun, because you can. Also, it would yeah. get little Nets people all excited. Like, oh, look, we stole a guy in the draft, and we're already yeah. really good. And it's like, well, can he do anything other than get buckets? But who cares? Because you're the Nets. It's great if you got a guy who can get buckets. But, like, yeah, like, I just think they can roll out the B team if they need to rest guys and if they pick their spots right. And because they have so many national TV games, they're kind of going to be forced to pick their spots right. Because right. of the NBA's fines and stuff.
Right.
I see 58 pretty easily.
Yeah. I think you're probably... Again, I think you've convinced me.
Look at that.
I think you've convinced me. But I'm not... I would not put this on my card, is where I'm at. Okay. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be back. Okay, this next little grouping, I feel like we're actually going to be able to rifle through because it's like not quite as complicated. Charlotte at 38.5 is their over under. Look, this is a stay away for me because I think there is a chance that this team's going to be pretty good. Like I have like Fred Katz's words in my brain about them maybe making a leap and Miles Bridges looking great at the end of the year. I don't know who this team is going to have any success defending. Really? This is definitely a lean under for me, but where do you sit on this?
I agree. I've been doing these, you know, going through preview stuff, and you look at the roster and you start going through, you're like, hey, they got some guys. And then you come to the realization, you're like, who the hell is playing center?
Yeah, it's Mason Plumlee.
It's Mason Plumlee, who is not good in Detroit.
Yeah.
I think he'll be better in Charlotte because he's going to have a real point guard running the show. All due respect yeah. to Corey Joseph and Killian Hayes and whatever was going on up there. Killian didn't play much. But, like, he behind him, it's like, all right, I hope Kai Jones is good.
He's not ready.
He's not ready, and you know that.
I don't feel... Yeah. Kai Jones is not ready to defend anyone in the NBA right
and
now.
And Jaden McDaniels? Like, you want him playing 25 a night?
It's Jay. That one's Jalen.
Jalen
is the good
me,
one.
Jalen's yeah. in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, and Jaylen much better McDaniels. Than Jalen. Yes. I think it's going to be a lot of PJ Washington at the five to close games.
Love a 6'7" rim stopper.
Yeah, but like it compounds whenever you're talking about LaMelo Ball, who's a good off ball defender, but is not a good on ball defender yet. And
so
Terry
you don't
Rozier
have a point of attack.
Yeah, like being the guy. So you're talking no rim protection and no real point of attack guy. I just don't know. Like, look, they finished top 20 in defense last year. So, like, James Borrego is – I think James Borrego is really good.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm not super convinced. Then, like, you are bringing in Kelly Oubre, who
– Where does he fit? That was a weird signing. Like, I get, like, just take some upside flyer because you're Charlotte, but, like, they're kind of stacked up over there on the wing.
Yeah, I think you just take the offense. Like, you just take it and roll, right? Like, you know, whatever. You have James Booknight as well. Like, Booknight, mm-hmm. I think, is a little bit better defensively than what he got credit for in college, but probably isn't going to be ready to defend in the NBA from day one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have Gordon Hayward returning, and Gordon Hayward is now... you know, 31 years old, and I wouldn't want to put a lot of defensive responsibility on him at 31 years old. I just don't know how they defend at the end of the day. This is an under for me. I'm not like hammering it because I think there is a chance that like LaMelo, Hayward, Miles Bridges, Terry Rozier like goes above 500 and just ends up as like kind of a top eight offense that people are surprised about. Mm-hmm. But I can't really just get behind this defense, I think.
I agree. This is, like you said, stay away, especially because the under's juiced, minus 115. Yeah. Going to watch a lot of Hornets games because they're going to be fun as hell. I know that. But how good are they? No idea. That's going to come down to a few different factors. But like you said, defense being the one. Like, they're going to have to be like elite offensively to make up for that, and I'm not sure they're that good. So
okay, Chicago 42.5. I'm in on this Bulls team. I think it's going to be fun.
Love them as far as like entertainment value.
I kind of think that like they're going to win a lot of games in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting contract year Zach LaVine. We're getting DeMar DeRozan, who like everyone clowned that contract, so he's going to feel disrespected. We're getting like Nikola Vucevic paired with those two in pick and roll. We're getting Lonzo Ball, who I think a lot of people clown that contract too. So people are probably, you know, he's probably coming in like pretty ready to play. I think that this team's probably going to be pretty good in the regular season because I think they're just going to play hard, like more often than other teams.
Yeah, I mean, there's a very real possibility of that, and we talk about that a lot during win totals, is like, the teams that give a damn in the regular season are always the over teams. Like, that's if you can, like, it used to be Toronto, Portland always overperformed because they played hard as hell. And they, you know, you steal four games, five games a year by just out caring on a back to back, on when both teams have a back to back, you steal a few games. I like this Bulls team. I'm not sure I'm ready to like lock up the over, but I think this is above 500 team, so I think this number's close to right. And you know, a lot of it's going to come down to health, but like, I think Zach LaVine's really damn good, and I think putting him with a real point guard who can take a little bit of pressure off of him, and putting him with another guy who can go get a bucket like DeMar, is going to help him tremendously. You got Vucci kind of floating, you know, in that, you know, pick and pop zone with those guys. I think they're going to be really good offensively, and we know Billy Donovan can coach it up on that end. Defense is a big question mark for me, because what's the one thing, like, Lonzo has this reputation as a defender, but he's best off the ball, but they yep. have to ask him to be point of attack, and he's just not very good at it.
So do they?
I mean, who are you putting on point guard? Do you put Zach out there?
My assumption is that the lineup they're going to close with is Caruso, Lonzo, LaVine, DeRozan, Vucevic.
I like that. I hadn't even really thought of like Caruso being a finishing lineup guy, but that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. If you're able to do that, okay. Okay, yeah, then over. You know what? That's it. That's weird that Alex Caruso can talk to me. I kind of had forgotten about him. I like that. Okay, yes. Sorry. I'm back in. Back in on the Bulls. Bulls are back.
You're back in on the Bulls.
Bulls are
back. I don't think they'll start that. Like, I think they might close with it, though.
I can see that. I like that. I like that a lot. This is the flip side of the Boston conversation we had earlier. I like this.
Yeah, so like the thing is that they are one injury away from having like, I think, no shot to go over this. Like, if
danger
one
zone
of,
for sure on that. Like, if LaVine yeah. goes down.
Yep. Even if like DeRozan goes down, I think it's actually a pretty significant problem for this over.
It's not good. And like Vucevic
if Vucevic goes down, I mean,
they don't
good
have
God,
anybody
like,
down there behind him. Yeah, really
you're starting Tony Bradley. If Vucevic goes down, not so good.
I think this is a stay away, but I do lean over.
Yeah, this is also a stay away for me because of that injury risk. But my lean is also over. I am with you. Okay. Cleveland, 26.5 here. See, like the talent tells me this is better than a 26-win team. Like I really think that because that's like basically right on pace for what they were supposed to win last year. They'll get probably a few more games out of Jared Allen. You do lose 35 Larry Nance games, and Larry Nance is actually like pretty good at basketball. They lost like 10 or 15 games from Sexton and Garland last year. They played 25 games of Andre Drummond. Like, they were still on pace even despite those things. They bring in Evan Mobley, who I think, like, I don't know if he's going to be more of a help than a hindrance as a rookie. We'll see. They bring in Lauri Markkanen, who like actually addresses a need that they had. They were like an absolutely abysmal shooting team last year. Yes. So the talent level to me says over, and I have no idea how these pieces fit together in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the issue. Is like you said, like I think they should be maybe a little better than last year. And like you said, they were right on pace, 22 wins in a 72 game season. But like you said, when they kind of went on that run early in the year, because they won a bunch of their games like early, I think.
Yeah.
Like, they were doing it with, like, Larry Nance was all over the place, and he was getting some serious buzz, and, like, you lose that, and, like, they were winning games early with defense, and I don't think that's going to be a thing this year for them.
Yeah, they started 9-9 last year. So they went 13-41 at the end of the year.
Yeah. I think I might just... This is a stay away again, but
pure stay away.
I might lean under because, like you said, like I get it, the talent, but how it fits together, and they just might be abysmal on defense. I don't think
they stop. They might be really bad.
I don't think
they might be really, really bad.
And if they don't get off to a sneaky good start, and again, I think they won't because they're not going to have that same personnel. I don't know if they have that same grit that they showed early, and if they don't have that, I think they might be cooked. They're going to be bad.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's like I want Cleveland to be good. Like I feel sure. Legitimately bad for the fans. Like since the LeBron departure, I want them to be good. And I just don't understand how the team is being built. Like, if I could bet on a general manager to be fired, like, in season, I think it would be Kobe Altman at this point. Like, I really think he'd probably be going off as, like, a plus 100 favorite out of 30 general managers.
It's not going well. I don't know exactly what they're doing. It's just kind of sad. Like, can we move on? Sad. I like a lot of the guys on that. Like, I think Darius Garland's a good player. I love Jared Allen. They got the steal of that trade. They won the trade. They won the James Harden trade aside from the Nets. And yet, I just don't know how much of this is going to translate to winning basketball games.
They're accumulating talent. I don't know that they're building a team.
Right, which is always the kind of issue with people who are like, oh, you just always go BPA, right? Like, there has to be some kind of vision at some point. Like, your first 2 years, that's fine. But we're in year four of this thing. There needs to be a vision at this point, and I don't see it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think I like Colin Sexton more than consensus. I think I like Garland more than consensus. Like, I like Evan Mobley. I like Isaac Okoro a lot. Like, I had him as a top five guy last year. They're going to get more competent point guard play because Ricky Rubio exists, and Ricky Rubio is a really good defender.
That's
and you
true.
Can maybe stagger him a little bit with Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. So, like,
that's true. I kind of forgot about Rubio. He does help them, but
this is like a pure stay away for me because I just don't know how this roster functions. And plus, whenever you play Rubio, you have to have Lauri Markkanen on the floor. Like, here's a fun question. How many minutes does Lauri Markkanen play the three on this team?
I don't like that. I don't like that idea.
They have Jared Allen.
They have Jared Allen. They have Mobley.
They have Evan Mobley. They still have Kevin Love, who
I
have to imagine he's going to get some minutes, right?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure if Kevin's playing much. He might just have a permanent calf thing.
Permanent calf thing.
Like, whatever the hell they want to call it. Like, they'll just work their way around the body with strains on Kevin.
Oh my god. There has to be like just one thing, I guess, is where I'm at. Like, there has to be something, right?
But I agree. The Lauri, and like the thing is, they're gonna want to play him a lot of minutes because they did not get him for cheap. They spent some serious money on him, which was aggressive, and they traded Larry Nance for him. Like, money and Larry Nance. That was an aggressive trade. I don't know who they were bidding against for that.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. This is making me sad. Let's move on.
I don't like it because I have many friends who are Cavs fans. I know you have even more. It's upsetting. Yeah.
26.5. Look, my lean is under. I think that there are more ways it goes wrong than right.
Yes.
But then, like, I look at Detroit, like, I think Detroit's probably going to be harder to play against than Cleveland. But, like, I don't know, 24.5, that feels like a pretty low number. I have over here, but again, this is a stay away for me because if one of Jeremy Grant or Cade Cunningham go down, this could turn dire quickly.
That's correct. I mean, for me, this comes down to, like, does anybody else show something, right? Like, and what's Detroit's goal here? Is it to try and win some games? Like, who are they playing behind Cade Cunningham, next to Cade Cunningham in that backcourt? Like, are they trying to see? Like, I think the right answer is we got to find out if Killian Hayes is part of this core that we're trying to build, right? Like, you got to play him, and you got to play him a decent bit. And he struggled, but he had the injury, and he had, you know, he got hurt like 8 games in and then came back, and he's on load management, and he kind of showed a couple flashes late, and you're like, all right, that was kind of a lost year for your number 7 overall pick, and you can't just punt. So you need to throw him out there and play him a bunch, but that's probably not your best bet to win games.
So like, here's my thing, though. I think this team's going to play hard every night. Like,
Dwayne Casey will get that out of them.
Yeah, Dwayne Casey will get that out of them. Cade Cunningham is just like a dude who is going to want to win, like, every night. Jeremy Grant plays hard every night. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Stewart, like, absolutely plays hard every night.
Sadiq
Bey plays hard every night. Like, they just have a lot of guys that, like, Hamidou Diallo, I think, theoretically,
He plays
is this
hard.
A contract year for him?
I think he's on 1-year deal, so I think so.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it a player option or a team option?
Yeah, I don't know. They have Kelly Olynyk, which, like, that was weird, but, like, go off, I guess.
I liked that because it's spacing for Cade to just, like, make it work.
Yeah, no, I mean,
so
if,
just, like,
if
go
Kelly's
do it.
Anything close to what he was in Houston, where they're, and, like, he might be because it's a great opportunity to just go get buckets, which, like, he can do in bunches.
Like, if he's giving green lights, might work.
I think that where I'm at is it's slightly over for me just because they're going to play hard every night. They're going to be kind of hard to play against. I don't feel great about it, though.
No, I don't want to be, like, honestly, I think for me where I'm at is, like, when it comes down to these teams, like, do I really want to be financially and emotionally invested in their success?
I don't.
And I don't. Like, I would like to be able to kind of watch the Pistons when I watch the Pistons, you know, try to take in some, you know. There will be nights where I want to watch Cade Cunningham play basketball.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to be crazy, like, locked in on the Pistons late in the year and sweating this out. You know, like, if they're coming into the last 2 weeks of the year needing, like, 3 wins, do you really want that in your life? Is the question I have for people. Like, they have 22 wins, and they have 8 games left on the schedule, and you need them to go 3-5. Do you want that? I don't think the answer is yes. So I would agree with you.
Okay. Indiana Pacers. This number is 42.5. On a talent basis, I think over. On a coaching basis, I think over. And I just don't trust this team to stay healthy.
I have been wrong about the Pacers on a number of occasions. I will be the first to admit it. I've never been particularly high on them. I've been right sometimes. I've been wrong sometimes. I don't get this team. I just don't. Like, on either side. Like, when I'm high on them, they're not great. When I'm, like, when I try to buy in, they do stuff that makes me, like, just, I'm like, okay, I can't be in on this team. Like, I'm interested to see what Caris LeVert looks like. Back, full season. Like, him and Brogdon theoretically is a fun backcourt to me, in theory. But, like, it hasn't seemed a lot of fun there. Like, I don't feel like... I'm interested to see how much of this was really... They really hated Nate Bjorkgren. Like, I want to see how much of this was that. Because vibes were terrible in Indiana last year. And I want to know how much of this was, like, everybody just checked out. The moment they had the injuries, they were just like, we're not fighting. And that had always been the hallmark, right? Like, you talk about teams that used to overperform the number because they played hard every night. That was the Pacers.
Which, like, by the way, that was under Nate McMillan. Even more reason to go over on the Hawks because of Nate McMillan. Like, he is going to get them to play and overachieve.
And if they buy into Carlisle, which I would think they would after a year of Bjorkgren. Like, I think they're just going to be happy to have an established guy who's not trying to come in and be like, we're going to do my thing my way and, like, create, you know, wants to create something wholly new. He can say, this is what I've done. We're going to do this, and this is how it can work. And he can kind of show that there's been success. I think it's easier to get that buy-in. Where I think it seemed pretty clear that Nate lost the locker room pretty early and could never get it back. Kind of just based on the fact that the man got fired after one season. So, I'm with you. Like, and also, when does TJ Warren play? Because that's freaking me out, that foot thing. Like, he keeps getting pushed back, and that makes me nervous when it's a foot.
So Malcolm Brogdon has missed something in the ballpark of 20 games basically every year of his career except his rookie year, right? Like,
yeah.
In 2018, it was like 35 games. In 2019, it was 18 games. In 2020, it was, I think, like 15. And then last year, it was 16. So Malcolm Brogdon's going to miss somewhere between 15 and 20 games, basically. Like, that's the rough estimate you should work with, I think. Caris LeVert, for just, you know, unfortunate reasons, such as him, he had cancer, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
kidney right? cancer. Like, good Lord, man. Like, I'm just glad he's like okay.
And then also he's had foot injuries going back to college. He had the terrible, what was it, an ankle injury, if I remember correctly, in Brooklyn. We probably can't count on him to play more than 60 games if we're betting on this over-under. TJ Warren, it does not seem like, is going to play, at least to start the season. Miles Turner also, like, kind of sneaky misses games. He missed 20 in his rookie season. He missed, like, 15 in his third season. And then he missed a few, if I remember correctly, last year, like 25 or so. So we're talking about a situation where this team just, like, misses games. And I don't know how good I feel about trusting them. For that reason, it's a pure stay away for me, despite the fact that this team, like, should go over.
On paper, this, like, is a 45-win team.
Easy.
Cruising.
But there's just no way you can feel
healthy.
Yeah, totally. Like, there's just no way you can feel comfortable betting on this team, given the injury history.
Yeah. I would agree. This is a over-lean, since we give out picks, and a
stay away.
Strongly.
Yeah. Okay, let's take another quick commercial break and we'll be back. Okay, we are back. The Miami Heat are next. This over-under is 48.5. I really like the Heat as a team that could, like, play spoiler in the playoffs. I don't like this team as a regular season team, I don't think.
Under!
Like, this is an under for me as well.
This is a play. Yeah, man. I think this is a team that their goal is just to get to the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
And get there and figure it out by the time they've gotten to the playoffs. I kind of wish you could bet, like, first half, second half unders in the NBA, because this would be like a first half under all day.
Yeah. You know the last time the Miami Heat won at least 49 games, or, like, were on pace to win 49 games?
Was LeBron James on the team?
LeBron James was on the team.
Yeah, that's not great.
I just don't. You look at this roster and I like the addition of Kyle Lowry.
Love it.
I like the idea of less emphasis being on Jimmy Butler because you have Kyle Lowry. I like the idea of being able to stagger Kyle Lowry with Jimmy Butler so that you can get good bench minutes. Maybe Tyler Hero takes a leap. But there's just, like, not a lot of depth here.
No, there is not.
Like, you'd need Victor Oladipo to, like, be something, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, you're banking on Depot or I've never been a big Hero guy. Just not a big fan, but he's kind of the swing guy, right? Like, he's the one who, if there's anybody who can pop on this team and has upside at this point that is beyond what we know, it's him. And I don't have the faith in him to do that. And I think they would need that to go over. So I think this is solidly an under.
Yeah, I think I'm with you that this is solidly an under. I think this is a bet for me. Yeah, it's just, I don't think that this team is going to play that hard in the regular season.
I also think this is just an inflated number because they got so much talk in the offseason.
Yeah, you're probably right on that.
Like, this should
actually
be this. I think if they just had Kyle Lowry and hadn't made a big move to get him and kind of made some splashier, you know, talking points, I think this is probably 46.5. But I think just the public goes, oh yeah, the Heat added Kyle Lowry, they're going to be you know, one of the best teams in the East this year, because for some reason when that trade happened, that became like the talking point. It's like they could be among the very best teams, and it's like, I was like, you can talk me into, like you said, them being a spoiler, but this idea that they were going to become all of a sudden like a top team, like, I don't think they're better than Atlanta.
No, I agree with you. I don't think they're better than Atlanta.
So, and they have a game higher on their win total?
Yeah, that's
weird.
Give me
the under.
Yeah. Okay. That's one that's going on the card.
That's on the card.
I think this is another one that should go on the card, although I'm willing to listen. The Milwaukee Bucks, their over-under is 54.5. I kind of like this over.
I'm going to do it again. I'm with you. We did this last year where we said, you know, all right, Bud and the Bucks, they're going to get it over. They always win 60, and they came in under. And I think they learned some things about how to pace the regular season. I think that was a big step for them. However, this is too low now. Like, this is just flat out too low by two or three games, I think.
They need to win 55 games, go 55-27 or better. This team still has Giannis, who's going to play hard every single night.
That's right.
We just kind of know that about him at this point. They're going to get back Dante DiVincenzo.
Yes.
They've added George Hill in the backcourt. They've added Grayson Allen in the backcourt, who Grayson had a really good year last year in Memphis. They take the flyer on Rodney Hood. So, like, they're going to have real depth in the backcourt in a way that they haven't had in a while. In the front court, you add Shimi Ogilvie. You get a year older from Jordan Wara. You still have Pat Connaughton. They've re-signed Bobby Portis to, like, the bargain basement deal.
Yes.
I mean,
I think it's pretty solidly over.
I feel like this team is better equipped to win more regular season games next year.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody was like, oh, they lost P.J. Tucker. They didn't play P.J. Tucker in the regular season. Almost ever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He's a 16-game player. Now, that could come back to haunt them when it gets to the 16-game season. But as we've mentioned, with the Hawks and with the Heat on opposite sides of this, playoff questions don't matter for win totals.
Yep.
All of the Bucks questions are playoff questions. For me, pretty solid over. I think this should be in the 56.5 range.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably a couple wins low. The only thing that worries me is Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton, like, not having enough of a break and starting very slowly.
Yeah, which again is, I think, why they address the backcourt depth the way that they did.
Yeah,
I think that they did that and they said, all right, we can kind of weather the storm and maybe give those guys a little bit of a breather. Like, George Hill is going to be a non-factor in the playoffs.
Much in the same way that, like, Bryn Forbes was.
Right, and in the same way that, like, George Hill has been a non-factor for the last, like, three teams he's played on, including the Bucks, like, two or three years ago. So I think they know what they're getting, and all it is like, look, George Hill, in that system, George Hill dominated in the regular season a couple years ago and then was a no-show. The dude shot, like, 47% from three.
Yeah.
He's going to look good in the regular season, and then I think they have to be ready to pull the plug in the playoffs. But he can take some minutes. They can rest Drew. You mentioned all the guys that get back in the backcourt, take a little bit of that pressure off of Chris, have him play, you know, he can take a game off here and there. Or just, like, they did a lot better job last year just being like, hey, these guys are going to play 29 minutes, and then we're getting them out of there. And so I think Bud learned how to actually do the minute management thing that we had always hated from him, which is like, play your guys more when it matters and play your guys less when you don't have to. And he got that, and I think we'll see that. He's pretty good at managing the regular season minutes and still winning, because he gets the guys to buy in on, hey, if you're up 20 in the third quarter, you don't have to play anymore. You know, like, he's pretty good about getting guys in on that.
Okay. We're both solidly over. That's going on that on the bet sheet. This one, I think, is not going on the bet sheet for me. The Knicks, 41.5. I just don't know what to do with this team. Like, it's just like, I don't know what to think. Like, they're probably going to be a little bit better in the regular season this year. Mm-hmm. But they were also, like, a little bit lucky, it felt like, last year.
I think you see, like, I don't think Julius Randle's going to be as good. I think he's going to be good. I don't think he's going to be quite as efficient a shooter, because it just seems like a hard thing for a guy with the shot selection he has to stabilize there. Like, he was outrageous from like 18 feet.
Yeah.
And like, can he keep doing that? I'm not sure. Adding Kemba is good. Like, he's not what he once was, but that's some shooting. Fournier's some shooting. But how much do you lose of the defense by playing Kemba? Everything that New York has done has a give and take with it, as opposed to just straight up getting better. Stay away. And
I think this is a stay away. I think I would lean, given that we make picks here, I would lean over, because I think the offense is just going to be much better. But I don't feel good enough to bet it.
Yeah, I think over's fine there. I think
so like, put it this way. This team won 41 games last season.
Right, and they get 10 more games to get one more.
And they get 10 more games. Even if you're accounting for like
some regression,
this team still should probably win 42 games.
Yeah, I think they can be 500. Because, like, 500 this year is probably getting you, what, in the 6-7 range, like right on the border of the play-in. And I think that's probably where they exist.
Yeah, I think this is a stay away, though.
You know, it's weird because for the Knicks, I always just, like, my first thought is, well, the market's going to say, push me to under. But I don't think this has gotten this high. I'm kind of surprised that the hype on the Knicks isn't pushing this higher. I kind of would have expected a little more. I think people were down on this offseason, and like, they didn't do a great job, but like, I don't think they screwed anything up.
Nothing was fine.
I think they did a perfectly fine job. They gave out a lot of money to like dudes. Like, they're not anybody that gets me real excited, but like, they didn't have a disastrous offseason. Yeah, I think lean over. I just don't want to bet on the Knicks. Again, this is just not a team I want to be invested in.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. Okay, let's go to the Orlando Magic. I don't think I want to spend a ton of time on the Magic, if only because it's just a very young team, and I just don't think they're going to win a ton of games. It's a fun team. You may have been able to convince me if I thought Jonathan Isaac was going to play like a full season, but I would imagine he doesn't play more than 50 games, given that I think he's going to miss the start of it. No. And I can't imagine they're going to play him in back-to-backs like you would think.
Right. 22.5 is the number.
I would think that Markelle Fultz probably misses a couple months.
Yeah. Which means you have to play Cole Anthony, who is maybe just really bad.
Yeah, like, I'm excited for the Jalen Suggs era. I think that was a great pickup. Of reason to be optimistic.
Really, I like Suggs a lot, but
yeah, like, long term, they're going to be great. It's just, I don't know about great, but like, they're going to be fine long term. I think they're totally undertaking the right trajectory, but I just don't see a way that they win a ton of games, and this is like an under for me by not a substantial margin, but like a pretty clear margin, and I would consider putting this on my ticket.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet it, but it's an under. I would not ever endorse the over for all the reasons you said. I like Jalen Suggs, but we've talked about it a lot. Very rarely do young guards lead to wins.
Yep.
And yeah, they just don't have a lot that excites me in terms of, hey, this is a guy who's going to contribute to wins right now. I like Gary Harris, but I think he gets traded. Like, Gary's good.
Yeah, probably.
But, like, I think he's their best trade asset, especially since he makes a very reasonable amount of money. Like, if he pops at all, he's gone.
Terrence Ross, you probably think, is gone.
He might just like being in Orlando.
That'd be amazing.
You know?
Good for him. I mean, Robin Lopez likes being in Orlando.
He's going to live at Disney. DNP dinner with Goofy.
DNP Disney.
That'd be great. Just couldn't get him out.
Love
couldn't get him off Splash Mountain. Sorry. Missed it.
DNP Splash Mountain.
I love that.
Yeah, this is an under for me, but I'm like 50-50 on whether or not it's on the ticket. Let's go to Philadelphia. 50.5 is the number here. I could not want to stay further away from anything to do with Philadelphia right
now. So gross. No, I don't. No, like, you can't bet anything right now.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Like, the only reason to me that you would want to bet the over is you believe there's a good immediate return coming for Ben Simmons soon. Nothing has indicated that is the case. In part because Daryl apparently is trying to get a bunch of picks, which hurts what you can get in the immediate. Because he wants to make a run at a Beal or a Dame or whatever the next guy that comes available. So you have that working against you. But to take the under, you're betting against a pretty good team with or without
Simmons. Betting against Joel Embiid playing very angrily.
That's my thing. Like, I think I always like to, when I do college football, I always like to think, like, what's the funniest outcome? Like, Chip and I have a principle. What would be funnier? If we're leaning one way or the other, we tend to go with whatever would be the funniest outcome. And to me, the funniest outcome is the Sixers start like 11-2 with Ben Simmons at home. That, to me, would be hysterical.
I need it.
Because Embiid would start like posting weird Instagram locations and stuff. And I feel like that is very much in play. And if they start like that, then like it makes it much easier to go over. But again, I don't know what this team has long term. I don't feel good about anything. I don't know what they're getting back for Ben Simmons. I don't want to be close to this. I think I would lean under, but I hate it because, again, I don't want to bet against Joel Embiid just FU season winning 52 games.
Do you want your money tied to the future of Ben Simmons?
No, no one should.
No.
Even the Sixers don't. And apparently 29 other teams don't.
If the answer to that is no, you stay entirely away from this. Look, I think under, because if Joel Embiid misses 30 games, this is...
Yeah, no, there's so many ways it goes wrong, but like, you also can see how betting the under would lead to financial ruin.
Yeah, I would not feel good about betting the under here, but I would, if lead. Making picks, I'm going under. Yeah. The Toronto Raptors are up next. I'm going under here too.
35.5, Sam?
It's so low.
It's so low. This is Toronto.
I know.
Back in Toronto?
There's every reason to go over on this number.
This is going to be our first disagreement.
So there's every reason to go over on this number. Every reason. Back in Toronto, really good coach, competent point guard who like is unflappable. Good long team that knows how to defend. Team that plays hard like every night. 35-47 sounds about right to me. So here's why.
Please.
Worst center position in the NBA still, right?
It's bad.
Like, we don't think they're going to protect the rim at all. Pascal Siakam is going to miss time. Like, he tore his labrum and just got surgery in June, so he is going to miss 5 months. Like, I think that a reasonable projection is he misses, you know, 20, 25 games this year.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a team
without its best player
when he's out of Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, Precious Achiuwa, Malachi Flynn, Scotty Barnes, Ken Burch will be in the lineup for sure. Goran Dragic, like, we don't know what's going to happen with Dragic, really.
Yeah, like, maybe they can get something for him. I don't know. Maybe not.
You have Gary Trent, obviously. I'm sorry, I didn't mention Gary Trent. Yeah. Gary Trent's good. But
buckets.
Without Siakam, this is a bad team.
Yeah. I have a hard time believing they're going to be bad again in back-to-back seasons, but you might be right. I still think I'm going to lean over, but it's certainly not going on the card. You make some strong points. I think my thing is, like, VanVleet and Gary Trent can score as a backcourt duo. Like, I like that a lot offensively.
And VanVleet defends. And VanVleet's
a good point of attack defender. I'm a big OG guy. Like him a lot. I agree about the center position. I like Chris Boucher just, like, as a person. But, and, like, I think he can do some fun things as a player, but he's not a guy that you want as your starting center.
Yeah, he's a great backup center.
He's a lot like of a fun.
Legit,
like,
great
a
backup
change
center.
Of pace, like, spark plug, because he'll block some. He'll block a bunch of shots, and he'll shoot the hell out of the ball. And you don't want him playing team defense for 30 minutes.
Yep.
Right. Like, you kind of want him to feel free to roam for 18, and do his thing. A lot of it does come down to, like, what the Dragic thing is, and. You know, like, if you're rolling out Dragic and VanVleet and Trent, Pascal, and there's some interesting things to do when Pascal's out there, because he can play some small ball five and you can do some funky lineups. But yeah, it's not great when he's not there, and he might rest back to backs. I'm going to lean over. I'm just going to stick to my guns. It's probably dumb, but I'm going to lean over and just assume some emotional magic works back in Toronto and make them win 36, so but I won't bet it.
I don't even think it's dumb. Like, based on their net rating last year, their expected win total was like 35 and 37. So they basically would get like an extra 10 games to win one game.
Yeah.
If expectation would hold. I don't know.
Nah, it's a lot of hemming and hawing for a podcast. Just a lot. That's the wind tunnel pod, baby. Just
love it.
Just a lot of half feels. Like, four strong bets each pod.
And, like, here's the other thing too. Like, so we're gonna go to Washington next. Like, I like Toronto more than Washington. If I could bet Toronto versus Washington, I think I'd bet. They'd probably bet Toronto to win more games, but I think there are more pathways to Washington going over than there is Toronto going under. Did I say that right? I don't know. like,
let's go to Washington. 33.5.
Yeah, I probably didn't say that right.
I don't think you did.
The number's 33.5. I like the over on this. It's a firm stay away for me, because losing Russell Westbrook and his, like, fuck you tour last year and his ability to create offense in transition, I think is actually, like, an important loss for them.
Yeah,
like, we can talk shit about
season.
Russ,
yeah.
Whatever. Like, yeah. But Russ helps you win regular season games,
does.
Like, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they got a lot of, like, solid stuff back. Like, I think, Like, they did about as well as you could this offseason with what they had to work with. I feel weird because I think if I took the over on this, it would be like 9 East overs. So I think some errors have been made here.
Oh, Robbie, no.
What am I doing?
Robbie, no.
Where am I at? There's just some, like, there's some, like, some of those teams, and I think part of it is, like, I kind of buckshot overs on that chunk in the middle, thinking at least, you know, 3 of 5 are going to hit.
Yeah, like, you have an Indiana under, or you have an Indiana over, like, I have an under there.
Yeah, Indiana, Toronto. I don't feel good about Toronto now. That feels icky. I'm now terrified of that. Anyway, I like a lot of what Washington did, and I think my, like, instinct here is to feel like, hey, they got some guys, maybe over, but also it's juice to the over now, which is gross. I can't lay 120 with the Wizards. Gross. But
pure stay away from me.
You know,
pure,
you talk about Spencer Dinwiddie, Bradley Beal, KCP, like, Kuz is whatever, but, like, he's a solid role guy. Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, totally.
Love Thomas Bryant. He should be back healthy. There you go. Once again, in a shocking turn of events, the Wizards are going to be able to score points, Sam. I wish I could just bet.
Scotty Brooks knows how to do it.
I wish I could just bet, like, Wizards top 5 offensive rating.
So I would not do that. I don't even know if I'd bet them top 10.
Really?
Because this is a team that doesn't really shoot it that well still. And losing all of those Russell Westbrook transition possessions, I think, is, like, actually kind of a problem for them. Because they're going to end up in the half court a lot more. And they're going to have to shoot it to space the floor for Beal and for Dinwiddie, like, Dinwiddie.
Get to the rim.
Yeah, and that doesn't feel as cohesive to me as just Russ pushing in transition and, like, making teams scramble on the back foot constantly.
A lot of it's going to come down to, like, can Rui keep shooting the ball a little better? Does Bertans having 2 guys who are driving, kicking, having a couple other, you know, if you have Bertans out there with KCP, like, at least there's another guy teams have to think about guarding on the perimeter, where, like, I feel like a lot of times last year, like, Bertans was, like, having a tough time shaking free. Like, if he can have a little bounce back, maybe he gets right, because he was bad early. Like, he was just flat out awful early. He came in out of shape. Like, there were rumblings that people in Washington were not happy with the man. Which, like, look, if I just signed, like, an $80 million deal, I would also come in out of shape. Please believe that. You're not getting the best of Robbie Calland after I ink a 484. I can tell you that right now. We're having some fun in the summer. We're getting loose.
That's how I feel, too.
It's going to be a lot of Vegas nights. You're not getting the best of me on a healthy new contract. For 3 months minimum. So I respect it. Yeah, I don't know. It's really upsetting to see the number of overs on my list as I look at them right now.
Yeah. I've got 8 unders. I feel good.
Hideous. Hideous from me.
Yeah. All right. And this is even with the Washington over. I've got 8 unders. So let's run through what our betting ticket would be.
I've only got like 3 on the actual betting ticket. And it's 2.
Yeah, I've got like 3.
2 overs and an under.
Yeah, 3.5. And Atlanta over, I think, is our favorite, right?
100%.
Yeah. Like, I feel really good about that
one. That'll...
Miami under.
Yes.
Milwaukee over.
Yes.
And I feel pretty good about Orlando going under 22.5.
They're not going to be good.
Like, that's probably
that's
the worst team in the
such
league.
A low total, though. I love it. That's grimy. That's like taking it under, like, 41.
And they're definitely tanking at the end of the year, right?
Oh, they're going to trade everybody. Like, you might. Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, that Orlando ticket is going to be terrifying until the trade deadline.
Like, they might be at like 19 wins at the trade deadline, and then you're like, oh, go cool.
Two and 30 the rest of the way. I don't think they'll be that. I don't think it'll be that dramatic. But you could talk me into like 15, 16 wins at the deadline, and then just shut her down.
Right.
Because they were. That's what happened last year. They were awful after they traded Vucevic and all those guys and Fournier and everybody. Like, they were terrible.
Oh, totally. And look, I love Jalen Suggs.
Again.
Love him.
100%. Just not going to win this year. He'll get him right.
This team was 17 and 31. They ended 21 and 51.
That's special right there. Commendable tanking. 4 and 20 the rest of the way? Let's go. Blaze it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm going under. I think that's like that might legit be on my ticket.
Talk yourself into it.
Let's just like, let's go. Let's do it. Okay, Robbie, we'll be back later this week with more. We're going to do the other side of the league. Tell the people where they can find your work until then.
Yeah, you can find me over at UpRocks, DimeMag.com, all that good stuff. We got previews and interviews and covers and all that good stuff coming on the tweets at RCallens. I'm out there.
We got Sammy Darns out here.
Spinning it.
Just dropping dimes.
Spinning it.
Love it. Love it. Running for touchdowns.
Full Sam Darnold experience tonight. He's got like 3 fumbles.
If by full Sam Darnold experience, you mean like he is now a star quality quarterback in this league. My crazy college dynasty fantasy league is absolutely with you.
I'm a believer in Sam. He just had to get out of the Jets. I'll buy the dip any quarterback that gets away from New York.
Buying the Adam Gase dip.
100%. All day. Also, the G-men. If Daniel Jones ever gets out of New York, like, I might actually like think he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But until then, he's not.
The ghetto man.
Dog. New York football. Catch the fever.
What a mess.
Catch the fever.
Please rate, review, subscribe, do anything you can to support the show. We'll be back with more later this week. Until next time, we will talk soon. Bye.